O beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering by karma, I am calling at your door. This is Sanchi's Bhajan, Satguru Pyare Merdi, page 27. I have not even a little control over you. Except you in this world, nothing else is mine. I have come to your shelter. Don't reject me. I've got much suffering. No more agony. Cool my heart, which is heated by pain. O beloved Satguru, improve my life. O beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering by karma, I am calling at your door.
Jindagi Savare.
O beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering by karma, I am calling at your door. Now, today's satsang marks the conclusion of another grace-filled meditation retreat. And there will be another golden opportunity in a month. 1 month from now, there will be a one-day meditation retreat celebrating the founding of Santbani Ashram and the first visit of Master Kripal, which was October 11, 1963. The retreat will be all day Saturday, October 12th. So initiates are welcome to attend any meditation sitting, and the schedules are at the book table along with sign-up sheet for anyone who wants to attend, who wants to come to the meals. And guests wanting to attend needing overnight accommodations are asked, please let the ashram know well ahead of time. We'll begin with the note on this in the magazine says, this article is reprinted from July 1971 Satsang Desh. It was first published in Sarya Dunia magazine. This is an article, if you will, by Baba Sawan Singh, and it's titled On Satsang and Darshan. So Sawan Singh says, you will find the gate of salvation by attending satsangs of the saints. No one will get comfort without satsang. You'll find this recorded in the Vedas. Satsang is a very great wealth, but we do not value it. Even if one word of satsang be imbibed, it will transform the whole life of an individual, what to speak of a whole discourse. A thief, while dying, called his only son and gave him a twofold piece of advice. 1. Do not go to any temple to hear the sermon. And 2. If you are caught while stealing, do not confess, even if you are hanged. So once the young man was coming back from breaking into a home when he saw a policeman coming. There was an alley nearby, so he ran there to save his life. There he found a temple where a sermon was being given. Immediately, he recollected the advice of his father and put his finger in his ears so as not to hear a word. But while doing this, he heard one sentence. The angels, gods, and goddesses do not have shadows. At another time, the young man was caught as a suspect. He was presented before a king who asked him if he had committed theft. And he answered, no, sir, I did not steal. The man was then beaten, but still he would not confess. And he was then put into a prison house. One woman in the king's police force was very clever and told the king that she would cause the man to confess. The king agreed to her plan and gave her the assignment. So that night she disguised herself as a goddess. She got two artificial arms fixed and held two burning torches in her hands. She walked in with an artificial lion and made a terrible commotion. The doors of the jail were flung open, and in the darkness the light of her candles shone brightly. When the poor thief saw that the goddess Durga was standing in front of him, he leaped up and prostrated himself at her feet. The self-made goddess gave him her blessings and said, behold, son, I am Durga goddess. I have come to remove your misery. Please tell the truth if you have committed a theft. If you tell the truth, I will help you to be released. The thief was ready to confess, but when he saw the shadow of the fake goddess, he remembered the utterances at the temple that gods and goddesses do not have shadows. He understood immediately that this was all deception. The thief said, "Mother, I did not commit theft. The king is punishing me unnecessarily." Well, the next day, the clever woman told the king that the young man was not the culprit. The king ordered the man to be set free. Well, the thief was pleased at this. He considered how wonderful it was that by hearing only one sentence from the satsang, he was released from prison. And he thought, if I could hear all the words of a satsang, it would surely transform my life. And thus, he started attending satsangs. The result was that he left the profession of a thief and became a Mahatma. And then there's a note in the article. The great master Baba Sawan Singh Ji here gives some specific practical advice concerning the conduct of the satsang. And again, continuing, Sawan Singh says, "Do not sit ahead of the entire audience. Do not talk unless the great master asks you to do so. Before the arrival of the master, sit at such a place which won't cause you to move in order to have the master's darshan clearly. When taking a seat, whether the great master is on the stage or not, please be amiable before the audience. Consider that all initiates are brothers and sisters and that you are their servant. Do not be contemptuous toward a poor man. Remember the Satguru so much so that at every breath a pang of separation from him troubles the heart. This condition will only come when you drive away all other thoughts. When you meet the great master, as a result of good fortune, then have the master's darshan as if you were a man tormented by acute hunger, or like an infant who yearns for the protective mother, the only source of nourishment. If anyone interferes between him and his mother, he cries painfully and falls into desperation." And then there's lines from a poem. "Like a rainbird who drinks only the water of the rain, when finally the skies burst into showers. Like a fish separated from water when it goes back to the soothing water." So like this, one should get elated on seeing the Satguru, so much so that on having the darshan, the devotee should forget the consciousness of his body and have no thought or consideration of rain or sunshine or shadow. Look minutely into the middle of the master's two luminous eyes, riveting your attention. Don't blink your eyes as far as possible. Hear the recitation of the great master with your ears and have darshan with your eyes. The gaze should be so confined that you see only the holy face of the Satguru and do not see the face of anyone else. Silently imbibe the utterances of the Satguru. Do not pay any attention to any noise, such as knocking at the door or what anyone else says. If individuals come in and say hello or shake hands or say good morning or evening to the great master, don't pay attention to them. If you do, it means disrespect to the master. It is a great loss for one to leave the master's precious darshan and look towards others. Be so much absorbed that your attention doesn't divert toward the person who might interrupt. Do not laugh in the satsang. Even if the master laughs, you need not do it. If my Satguru, great master Baba Jamal Singh, would come and give me darshan for a minute, I would gladly give away everything I have. At the distribution of prasad, generally there is noise and disturbance. This is a great mistake. You need not pay attention to prasad as to whether you get any or not. Do not leave the most precious darshan of the Satguru to lose yourself in the thought of prasad. Prasad may be taken, but do not sacrifice the darshan. Do not get bored when listening to the discourse. It's a sin to do so. When the master gets up from the satsang, having finished his discourse, consider yourselves as unfortunate that this most valuable time went out of your hands. After hearing the discourse, one should not speak with anyone. Put emphasis on simran. Escape from the company of those talking and socializing. Rest assured that the Satguru has filled the pipe of our heart with his darshan. If you start talking with anyone, the heart will keep on emptying of the darshan. It is the duty of a satsangi not to squander the boon given by the Satguru. He is, rather, to increase the master's gift. It will increase if a devotee engages in simran for 3 to 6 hours after satsang. Also, he should recall the utterances made by the Satguru in the satsang. He should ask himself what shortcomings he has. From that day on, he should try to eliminate those faults. If those faults are not overcome, then he should pray before the great master, O true emperor, I am feeble and a sinner. Please forgive me. When the disciple will devote more time to bhajan and simran, the attributes of the Satguru will start coming into the devotee, and his shortcomings will begin to depart. This is the benefit of hearing the satsang. Therefore, a satsangi should try to follow and act upon the commandments after listening to the satsang of a perfect master. He should leave off lust, anger, criticism, backbiting, bad company. One should eat morsels gained only from hard-earned and honest money. A satsangi will not progress spiritually until he earns his living by the sweat of his brow. If a satsangi is a guest of someone and is served food, he has to compensate the same by giving the merit of 3 hours of meditation. Otherwise, the mirror of his heart will not be clear. And unless and until the mirror of his heart is clear, he cannot love Satguru. Love and faith are the foundations of spirituality. A house cannot be built without a foundation. Similarly, if a person devotes 20 hours daily in meditation and has no love and faith, he cannot progress spiritually even a little bit. Of course, the ego comes up that one is an aspirant on the spiritual path. Just like a bullock at an oil press who keeps on going all day long but remains at the same place, walking in a circle, such is the situation of the person who has not yet developed love. It is seen generally that any work done with enthusiasm is accomplished quickly and well. The student who studies wholeheartedly gets smart in his studies. It is a principle that the teacher who teaches the students with love gets better results from his students. On the other hand, if a teacher is full of anger, then the students do not get benefit from his efforts. Therefore, it is necessary that a satguru be love personified, and the satsangis meditate with love and devotion. When the Satguru is love personified, and the satsangis love him, they will also love to follow the master's commandments. This way the benefit is gained very soon. One cannot bring the mind into concentration unless one has deep love and devotion for the Satguru. Unless the scattered mind gathers together, one cannot enjoy the simran. Without love, the simran seems to be a burden. If you do simran now and forget it after a little while, you will remain forgetful for several hours. The sign of complete Simran is that the soul will gradually start leaving the body. After crossing the stars, moon, and sun, it will reach the luminous form of the Satguru. To reach this point is the job of Simran. Before that, consider that the course of Simran is not yet accomplished. This next reading is Sanchi's farewell to Sant Bani Ashram talk that he gave the last day of his 1984 visit on May 13th of 1984, in which he expresses his pleasure with the retreat at Sant Bani at that time. So Sanchi says, I would like to thank all the dear ones for all their cooperation and discipline maintained during the visit. I'm very much impressed by the discipline of the dear ones and of the children. I hope that in the future you will also maintain such discipline, because if this discipline had not been maintained, it would have been difficult for many dear ones to come closer to me. I am very pleased with all your patience. Patience gains all. Because of the discipline and the patience of the dear ones, I was able to serve them more, and as you all know, every day I was able to visit the Langar and could spend maximum time with all of you over there. Also, I would like to thank the dear ones who did not write me letters during this tour. I had requested this, and I'm very pleased that almost all, 90% of the dear ones, accepted this request and didn't write. Some people did write letters, and I hope they will remember my request in the next visit and will not write me during that tour, because it's very difficult for me to answer letters since we have so many interviews and a lot of other activities going on. I hope that whatever you have learned during the stay here, you will follow it and live up to it. Saints come into this world to create the desire, yearning, and devotion for Almighty Lord. If we could maintain the love we have now, we can easily get liberation, and we can easily realize God. Kabir Sahib has said, if the love which the dear one has in the beginning is maintained, what to say about his own liberation? He can liberate millions of other souls. Master Sawan Singh Ji also said, if you can't meditate enough, just maintain remembrance and love for the Master, so that when you leave the world, you can go to the place where Master comes, from where Master comes, being attached to his love. So I hope that you will maintain love, yearning, and devotion for Almighty Lord and for your Master. In order to do the devotion of God, we need to maintain purity of mind and body. When our body is pure, our mind becomes purer. And when our mind is purer, our soul becomes pure and easily gets attached to Shabd. Satsang is the best way of maintaining the remembrance and purity. It is only through the satsangs that we can know about our failings and shortcomings and get the strength to fight our mind. So I hope that all of you will attend satsang regularly. Those who do not have satsangs nearby the place where they live, they can meditate on their own and read the books to fill up the lack of satsang. Satsang is the protective hedge for meditation. Master Kripal used to say, you should give up hundreds of works in order to attend the satsangs, and should give up thousands of works to meditate. Many dear ones who came to see me in the interviews told me that since my last tour, they didn't meditate enough, or they stopped going to satsang and wasted their time, and now they regret it and want to start again. That is not a good thing. I came here from so far to help you remember Master Kripal and help you to do the devotion of Almighty Lord. I don't come here for any sightseeing or anything like that, so I hope that the dear ones will remain faithful to the Master and will live up to his teachings. And even after I go, you will maintain the same spirit and love and desire for satsang and for your meditation. Don't become a toy in the hands of your mind. If you will let your mind play tricks with you, he will always keep you confused. So, be brave, and with all your strength and courage, do your bhajan and simran, and keep your lives pure. And I would like to thank Russell Perkins for his cooperation and service. And also, I would like to thank all the dear sevadars at the ashram, all the ashramites, and all the other dear ones, those who came here much before my tour and helped in making this hall and did all of the sevas. And also, I am grateful to the audio and video people, and especially to the photographers who maintained a unique kind of discipline so that I was not bothered by them. So, thank you once again. And in that reading, I noted that Sanchi had words for those who don't have satsangs nearby where they live. And I remembered a story that a friend of mine, a dear one, told about an interview with Master Kripal, where he told him that he had a new job and had to move to a city where there were no other satsangis. And he felt, you know, what will I do for satsang? And Master said, well, you know that Christ said in the gospel, where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. So you be number one and I will be number two. And we're going to begin a satsang talk of Master Kripal. This was given at Harmony Grove in California in December of 1963. And Master says, dear friends, we are fortunate that we have the man body. The man body is the highest rung in all creation, and in the man body only can we know God. The God whom we want to approach is already in this man body. It is considered to be the true temple of God. God resides in every heart, and we also reside in the same temple. Both of us, our own self and God, reside in the very same man body, which is the true temple of God. But the pity is that we cannot speak to God. To see God, or to find God, or to converse with God, we have to enter this laboratory of the man body. This is a wonderful house we live in. The macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. We have great possibilities awaiting us in this man body, and that is, when we know ourselves, we know God too. When we can traverse into the different planes of the macrocosm, we can reach the true home of our Father. So these are the possibilities that are awaiting us. But unfortunately, we have never paid any attention to our own selves. Man has three aspects. He has the physical body, he has intellect, and he is spirit in man, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, or a conscious entity. We have given food to the body, and we have become intellectually strong. We have made wonderful inventions, But all the same, what food have we given to our own selves? Until we give food to our own self, which is a conscious entity, we have no spiritual health. And our spiritual health depends on the health of both the mind and the body. So we have to consider what that bread of life is with which we can become spiritually strong. As I told you, we have given ourselves the food of reading and writing and drawing inferences at the intellectual level and thinking in so many ways. And that has given us intellectual health. And we can think things out in much better ways. We have given solid food to the solid physical body, and we are physically strong. When we come to know what is the true bread of life and water of life, which is the food given to the soul, we can become spiritually strong. The scriptures that we have with us today have references to these things, but we have simply ruminated over them and never gone into them to understand what they mean. I will give you some instances from the different scriptures. Christ went to a well to have a draught of water. There he met a Samaritan lady who was carrying a pitcher full of water on her head, and he asked her to give him some water. On account of an inferiority complex, she said, "Well, we are Samaritans. You people have no connection with us. Why are you asking for water from us?" And the Christ said, "Had she known who it was who had asked for water, she would have given it to him. If you drink the water which she carries, it will quench the thirst for a while. But a man thirsts again and again. Had she come to me, I would have given her the water of life." There is some water of life that can be given only by Christ-like people. The scriptures of the religions we have joined refer to these things. We have simply considered the very elementary or preparatory steps of how to have certain forms, to carry certain badges of a certain religion, to say prayers or to perform certain rites and rituals. And it ends there. But we have to read the scriptures carefully and try to understand what they say. What are the scriptures? They are the fine records of the experiences that the masters had in their life with God and in knowing themselves. What they said, what they saw, they experienced it, and then they spoke. If we now want to understand the true import of the teachings they gave, or the reference to what they said that is in the scriptures, we must sit at the feet of someone who has had that experience and that way of living. You will find that we simply interpret these things at the level of the intellect, and that is why we are not able to do full justice to the work. In other scriptures as well, you will find reference to the same water of life. In the Mohammedan literature, it is called a water which gives the life of heaven. Of course, this is expressed in some different language. In the Vedas, you find it as soma, such a water that gives life to everything. And what is that water of life? Guru Amar Das tells us that, quote, "only if your soul comes in contact with the God-pervading power, which is the cause of creation and is controlling all creation." So only if you come in contact can you have that water of life, which will give you life. If you drink that water, then you will be accepted at the door of God, and you will become one with it. The masters further say that this is a water of life that is the panacea for all ills. But it can be had only at the feet of the Master. As Christ said, "Had she come to me, I would have given her the water of life, by drinking which her thirst would have been quenched forever." So this is the water that is to be given by the masters. Again and again they referred to it. Guru Nanak said, "The water of life, or the elixir of life, can give us everlasting life. By drinking it, you can have everlasting life." These are the same words, I tell you, but expressed in different languages, of course. Again, you will find in the Bible, Christ said, "I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life." And you will find the same thing in other scriptures. I'm quoting these things to you only to show that you can have everlasting life only by coming in contact with God. Who has to come in contact with God? It is our own self, our real self. We are conscious entities. We are embodied souls. But our souls are under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, and we are so much identified with the outside things that we have forgotten ourselves. Our attention, which is the expression of our soul, is engrossed in outside things and diffused in them. Only when we liberate our souls from the mind and the outgoing faculties, that is, when our attention is withdrawn from them, and we rise up from the outgoing faculties or senses, only then can we come in contact with that water of life or bread of life. This is the food that is given to our souls, so that we can become spiritually strong. You will find similar references in other masters' scriptures. "If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven." The body has 9 doors, or apertures. If you withdraw your attention from the 9 doors, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, the mouth, the rectal and genital organs, and you withdraw within, you'll find a 10th door as well. This is the door that leads you from the body to enter the kingdom of God. This is called the 10th door, and it lies at the seat of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes, between the 2 eyebrows. When your soul withdraws, it commences in darkness, of course, but when that door is opened, you enter in. You have an access into the kingdom of God. And here you get contact with the light of God and the sound principle of God. This is the bread of life. What is within? The masters say that there is light, and there's very sweet music of the spheres continually going on. This is the true water of life, and the true bread of life, by eating which your thirst is quenched forever. This is the bread and water of life that is within us, but we cannot come in contact with it until we withdraw from outside and rise above body consciousness. How to withdraw from outside and how to rise above body consciousness is a practical subject. All the masters tell us that someone is needed who is competent to help us to withdraw from outside and draw the spirit currents of the body up to the seat of the soul in the body. They say, "Rise above senses." Or they say, "Learn to die so that you begin to live." These are the words that we find in the Scriptures. But the pity is that we have only ruminated over them, never gone into the true import of what they actually mean. And the true import can only be given by those who have an access to the beyond, who've had the same experience, or who are on the way. Intellectual people simply define the bread of life as intellect, and the light of God as intellectual light. But that is a substantial something that can be experienced at the feet of a master. Unless we come across a master, we cannot have that experience, even though it's already within us. That is why it is said, "The kingdom of God cannot be had by observation." So long as your attention is diffused into the world through these outgoing faculties, you have no access to it. You must withdraw your attention from outside. Enter this laboratory of the man-body and rise up to the level of the eyes, at the back of which is the true seat of the soul. Then you will find this bread of life and have this water of life. This is the gift of a master. Guru Nanak said, "O man, the water of life for which you have come into the world and have got the man body is the source of all happiness, all joy, and all bliss. You can have it only at the feet of a master. You have joined various religions for that very purpose." In my evening talk, I laid before you the meaning of spirituality. Spirituality means knowing oneself, liberating oneself from the tentacles of the mind and the outgoing faculties, by withdrawing from the body at the back of the eyes and having a look into the beyond. That is, to come in contact with the God into expression power, which is light and sound principle. So he said, "Remain in whatever religion you are, but unless you rise above body consciousness, you cannot have that gift, even though it is within you." It requires the help of some master to bring you above the body level, up to the eye level. And Nanak said, "Remain in some religion, because the outer social bodies of religions have to do only with our physical bodies. We bear the badges of the different schools, the psychologies or religions that we have joined. We read their scriptures, and we also say their prayers and perform certain rites and rituals. These all relate to the man body, to the physical body. You may be very regular in saying the prayers daily. You may be performing rites and rituals without a break, day after day. You may be reading only scriptures. You may even understand what is written to be able to sit at the feet of someone who knows the way. Still, only by reading or performing these things you will have nothing to boast of until you rise above body consciousness and have this gift of the water of life and the bread of life. So remain in some religion. To remain there is a blessing. If you don't remain there, there will be corruption, or you'll have to start another religion. And they have already multiplied into so many. We should remain in those religions that have already withstood the test of time, but just rise above body consciousness according to the teachings given in the different religions by the masters who came from time to time. And they said that the water of life and the bread of life is already there, and that you will have it when you rise above the body consciousness. They say, Religions end with your physical body, but while remaining in your own religions, rise above the physical body. You are conscious entities. You are conscious beings. You are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. You are of the same essence, of the same religion, as that of God. So remain where you are, but rise above the body, where you are already one. We are all children of God, brothers and sisters in God. And we will leave off at that point. And our final reading today is a poem of Kabir. This is from the book 100 Poems of Kabir. These poems were translated by Rabindranath Tagore. This is number 17. The light of the sun, the moon, and the stars shines bright. The melody of love swells forth, and the rhythm of love's detachment beats the time. Day and night, the chorus of music fills the heavens, and Kabir says, "My beloved one gleams like the lightning flash in the sky." Do you know how the moments perform their adoration? Waving its row of lamps, the universe sings in worship day and night. There are the hidden banner and the secret canopy. There, the sound of the unseen bells is heard. Kabir says, there, adoration never ceases. There, the Lord of the universe sitteth on his throne. The whole world does its works and commits its errors, but few are the lovers who know the beloved. The devout seeker is he who mingles in his heart the double currents of love and detachment, like the mingling of the streams of Ganges and Jamuna. In his heart, the sacred water flows day and night, and thus the round of births and deaths is brought to an end. Behold what wonderful rest is in the Supreme Spirit, and he enjoys it, who makes himself meet for it. Held by the cords of love, the swing of the ocean of joy sways to and fro, and a mighty sound breaks forth in song. See what a lotus blooms there without water. And Kabir says, "My heart's bee drinks its nectar." What a wonderful lotus it is that blooms at the heart of the spinning wheel of the universe. Only a few pure souls know of its true delight. Music is all around it, and there the heart partakes of the joy of the infinite sea. Kabir says, "Dive thou into that ocean of sweetness. Thus, let all errors of life and death flee away." Behold how the thirst of the five senses is quenched there, and the three forms of misery are no more. Kabir says, "It is the sport of the unattainable one. Look within and behold how the moonbeams of that hidden one shine in you." There falls the rhythmic beat of life and death. Rapture swells forth, and all space is radiant with light. There the unstruck music is sounded. It is the music of the love of the three worlds. There, millions of lamps of sun and of moon are burning. There, the drum beats, and the lover swings in play. There, love songs resound, and light rains in showers, and the worshiper is entranced in the taste of the heavenly nectar. Look upon life and death There is no separation between them. The right hand and the left hand are one and the same. Kabir says, "There, the wise man is speechless, for this truth may never be found in Vedas or in books. I have had my seat on the self-poised one. I have drunk of the cup of the ineffable. I have found the key of the mystery. I have reached the root of union. Traveling by no track, I have come to the sorrowless land. Very easily has the mercy of the great Lord come upon me." They have sung of him as infinite and unattainable, but I, in my meditations, have seen him without sight. That is indeed the sorrowless land, and none know the path that leads there. Only he who is on that path has surely transcended all sorrow. Wonderful is that land of rest, to which no merit can win. It is the wise who has seen it. It is the wise who has sung of it. This is the ultimate word, but can any express its marvelous savor? He who has savored it once, he knows what joy it can give. Kabir says, "Knowing it, the ignorant man becomes wise, the wise man becomes speechless and silent. The worshipper is utterly inebriated, his wisdom and his detachment are made perfect. He drinks from the cup of the inbreathings and the outbreathings of love. There the whole sky is filled with sound, and there that music is made without fingers and without strings. There the game of pleasure and pain does not cease." Kabir says, "If you merge your life in the ocean of life, you will find your life in the supreme land of bliss." What a frenzy of ecstasy there is in every hour, and the worshipper is pressing out and drinking the essence of the hours. He lives in the life of Brahma. "I speak truth, for I have accepted truth in life. I am now attached to truth. I have swept all tinsel away." Kabir says, "Thus is the worshipper set free from fear. Thus have all the errors of life and of death left him." There the sky is filled with music. There it rains nectar. There the harp strings jingle, and there the drums beat. What a secret splendor is there in the mansion of the sky. There no mention is made of the rising and the setting of the sun. In the ocean of manifestation, which is the light of love, day and night are felt to be one. Joy forever, no sorrow, no struggle. There have I seen joy filled to the brim, perfection of joy. No place for error is there. Kabir says, "There have I witnessed the sport of one bliss. I have known in my body the sport of the universe. I have escaped from the error of this world. The inward and the outward are become as one sky. The infinite and the finite are united. I am drunken with the sight of this all. This light of thine fulfills the universe, the lamp of love that burns on the salver of knowledge." And Kabir says, "There, error cannot enter, and the conflict of life and death is felt no more." And we have been listening to a satsang talk of Sanchi's here at Sanbani on July 26, 1996. It's one of the final talks of the final tour. This is on a bani of Guru Nanak, and it was called "This Human Birth is Precious."
Shri Balmik ne Ramayana rachi hai, 10,000 ਸਾਲ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਰਾਮਚੰਦਰ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦੀ ਪੈਦਾਇਸ਼ ਲਿਖ ਦਿੱਤੀ। ਪਿਆਰੇ ਉਹ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ, ਅਗਰ ਉਹ ਇਹਦੂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਵੀ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਤਦ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਲਿਖ ਸਕਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਰਮਾਇਣ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਲਿਖਿਆ ਉਹ ਸਾਰਾ ਅੰਦਰਲਾ ਖੇਲ ਹੈ, ਅੰਦਰਲੀ ਚੜ੍ਹਾਈ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕਾਲ ਨੇ ਸੋਚਿਆ ਕਿ ਇਹਨੇ ਤਾਂ ਪੜ੍ਹਦਾ ਹੀ ਫਾਸ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਪੜ੍ਹ ਕੇ ਹਰ ਇੱਕ ਦਾ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਣ ਨੂੰ ਦਿਲ ਕਰੇਗਾ। ਤੋ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਉਲਟਾ ਨਾਮ ਉੱਥੇ ਗੁਣੀ ਗਿਆਨੀ ਕੀ ਦੱਸਣ ਲੱਗ ਪਏ, ਮਰਮਰ, ਕਿ ਬਾਲਮੀਕ ਨੇ ਮਰਮਰ ਜਪਿਆ ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਬਰਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਗਿਆ, ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜੋ ਲਿਖਿਆ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਉਹ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਉਲਟ ਨਾਮ ਜਪਤ ਮਨ ਮਾਨਾ ਰਾ ਬਾਲਮੀਕ ਪਿਓ ਬਰਮ ਸਮਾਨਾ।
ਰਿਸ਼ੀ ਵਾਲਮੀਕ ਹੈਡ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿਡ ਰਮਾਇਣਾ ਐਂਡ 10,000 ਈਅਰਸ ਬਿਫੋਰ ਲਾਰਡ ਰਾਮਾ ਵਾਸ ਬੋਰਨ ਹੀ ਰੋਟ everything he wrote there. This is true because Master Savan Singh used to say that if Valmiki had come into this world even before that, he could have written about the birth of Lord Rama even long before that, because all what he wrote in Ramayana was the description of the inner world, all that happened in the within, because it was the true story of the inside. That is why he wrote that. And when the negative power saw that by reading the Ramayana which Valmiki has written, they all will get the desire, that encouragement to go in the within, which he did not want. So that is why he spread this word, saying that Valmiki repeated the name Mara Mara, which is the reading backwards of Ram, and in that way he went inside. But no, dear one, that is not true. It is written there that Valmiki had done the devotion of Lord, he had done the true devotion of Lord, and that is how he was able to go in the within.
ਦਰਖਤ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਤਾ ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਚੋਂ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇਨਸਾਨ ਉਲਟਾ ਦਰਖਤ ਹੈ, ਅਸੀਂ ਸਤਾ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਦਿਮਾਗ ਚੋਂ ਨੀਚੇ ਨੂੰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਜਦੋਂ ਸੰਤ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਣ ਦੀ ਯੁਗਤੀ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਉਲਟ ਚੜ੍ਹਾਈ ਕਰਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਟ੍ਰੀ ਗੈਟਸ ਦ ਸਪੋਰਟ ਔਰ ਟ੍ਰੀ ਗੈਟਸ ਦ ਨਰਿਸ਼ਮੈਂਟ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਰੂਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਅ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬੀਇੰਗ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ ਅਪਸਾਈਡ ਡਾਊਨ ਟ੍ਰੀ, ਵੀ ਗੈਟ ਦ ਸਪੋਰਟ, ਵੀ ਗੈਟ ਦ ਪਾਵਰ ਫਰੋਮ ਓਵਰ ਹੇਅਰ, ਫਰੋਮ ਓਵਰ ਫੋਰਹੈਡ। ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਟੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ and they tell us that we have to go from upside down up.
Is waste guru nanak dev ji maharaj kehnde hai unde bhande kashu na samave seedhe pava amrit tar, jinna chikar assi oh pyala jehda mudha vajya hai us nu siddha nahi karde ge unna chikar saada jehda amrit hai oh indriyan man ki jande hai jadon assi siddha kar lende hai oh ek baar shnan ta dusri na par janda hai.
Guru Nanak Sahib says that we do not get anything as long as our vessel is upside down. He says that as long as our vessel is upside down and until we turn it in the right direction, we do not get that nectar which is right now being drunk by the mind and by the organs of senses. Once we make our vessel in the right direction, then if not at one time, maybe second time, maybe next time, it gets filled with the nectar.
Karhi mein amrit bharpur hai man mukha sadhna paya.
In your home itself there is a lot of nectar, but the manmukhs, the foolish manmukhs, have not got this secret.
Jyo kasturi mirg na jane o param da param parmaya.
Just like the deer does not know where the musk is and he wanders here and there in the illusion.
ਜਿਸ ਜਲ ਨੀਂਦ ਕਾਰਣ ਤੁਮ ਜਾਗਿਆ ਸੋ ਅਮਰਤ ਗੁਰ ਪਾਹੀ ਜੀਓ ਛੋੜੋ ਵੇਸ ਪੇਖ ਚਤੁਰਾਈ ਦੁਬਿਧਾ ਇਹ ਫਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਜੀਓ।
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਚੀਜ਼ਾਂ ਛੱਡਣੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਉਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕਦੇ ਕੰਨ ਪੜਵਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਦੇ ਤਨ 'ਤੇ ਭਗਵੇਂ ਕੱਪੜੇ ਪਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਦੇ ਘਰ ਬਾਰ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਬਾਹਰ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕਦੇ ਯੋਗ ਦੀ ਸਾਧਨਾ ਸਾਧਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕਦੇ ਜਟਾਂ ਰੱਖ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕਦੇ ਕੰਨਾਂ 'ਚ ਵੱਡੀਆਂ ਵੱਡੀਆਂ ਮੁੰਦਰਾਂ ਪਾ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਛੋਡੋ ਭੇਖ, ਇਹ ਭੇਖ ਵੀ ਛੱਡ ਦਿਓ, ਜਿਹੜੀ ਚਤਰਾਈ ਹੈ ਚੰਚਲਪੁਣਾ ਹੈ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਛੱਡ ਦਿਓ, ਜਿਹੜੀ ਮਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਦੁਬਧਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਦੁਬਧਾ ਮੈਂ ਦੋਨੇ ਗਏ, ਮਾਇਆ ਮਿਲੀ ਨਾ ਰਾਮ, ਭਰੋਸੇ ਨਾਲ ਨਾਮ ਮਿਲ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ ਉਹਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰੋ।
ਨਾਓ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਆਰ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਨੀਡ ਟੂ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਹੈਵ ਦੈਟ ਨੈਕਟਰ। ਵਟ ਡੂ ਵੀ ਯੂਜਲੀ ਡੂ? ਵੀ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਅਵਰ ਨੋਰਮਲ ਕਲੋਥ ਐਂਡ ਟੇਕ ਅਪ ਦ ਕਲਰਡ ਰੋਬਸ, ਵੀ ਗੈਟ ਅਵਰ ਈਅਰਸ ਪੀਅਰਸਡ, ਸਮਟਾਈਮਸ ਵੀ ਕੀਪ ਲੋਂਗ ਹੇਅਰ, ਸਮਟਾਈਮਸ ਵੀ ਲੀਵ ਅਵਰ ਹੋਮ ਐਂਡ ਗੋ ਆਊਟਸਾਈਡ, ਸਮਟਾਈਮਸ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਦਿਸ ਆਰ ਦੈਟ ਆਊਟਰ ਰਾਈਟ ਐਂਡ ਰਿਚੁਅਲ। ਸੋ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵੇ ਵੀ ਟਰਾਈ ਸੋ ਮੈਨੀ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਕਾਇੰਡਸ ਆਫ ਥਿੰਗਸ, ਵੀ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਸੋ ਮੈਨੀ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਗੈਟ ਦੈਟ ਨੈਕਟਰ। ਬਟ ਵਾਟ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਇਜ਼ ਸੇਇੰਗ ਹੇਅਰ, ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ that what you should give up, what are the things we should leave and give up, he says that give up the imitation, give up the falsehood and give up the cleverness, because by cleverness you will not achieve anything. And further he says that you give up the duality which is bothering you so much. Duality is such that in the duality neither you get any taste of this world nor you get any knowledge of God Almighty. So that is why here he says that you give up the imitation, give up the falsehood, give up the duality, give up the cleverness, and with firm faith and determination and with all your love do your devotion and go within.
Maharaj Kripal kade kade hasde private time de utte kalti fasnaunde hunde chatra vaste, chatar rab nu kehnda hai ik chatr dooje nirtana do do dukh na de, ਜਾਂ ਚਤਰਾ ਨੂੰ ਧਨ ਦੇ ਜਾਂ ਲੈ ਚਤਰਾਈ ਛੀਨ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਸਮਟਾਈਮਸ ਇਨ ਇਸ ਪ੍ਰਾਈਵੇਟ ਟਾਈਮ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦਿਸ ਜੋਕ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਕਲੈਵਰ ਪੀਪਲ। ਹੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਕਲੈਵਰ ਪੀਪਲ ਸੇ ਦਿਸ ਟੂ ਗੋਡ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਲਾਰਡ ਈਦਰ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਗਿਵ ਅ ਲੋਟ ਆਫ ਵੈਲਥ ਟੂ ਦ ਕਲੈਵਰ ਪੀਪਲ ਔਰ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਟੇਕ ਅਵੇ ਦ ਕਲੈਵਰਨੈਸ ਫਰੋਮ ਦੈਮ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਕਲੈਵਰਨੈਸ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਪਾਵਰਟੀ ਡਜ਼ ਨੋਟ ਗੈਟ ਅਲੋਂਗ ਵਿਦ ਈਚ ਅਦਰ।
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਅੱਗੋਂ ਚਤਰ ਨੂੰ ਜਵਾਬ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜੇ ਚਤਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਧਨ ਦਿਆ ਪੰਖ ਲਾਏ ਉੱਡ ਜਾਣ, ਜੇ ਚਤਰਾਈ ਛੀਲ ਨਾ ਤੇ ਤੜਫ ਤੜਫ ਮਰ ਜਾਣ।
ਦੈਨ ਗੋਡ ਰਿਪਲਾਈਜ਼ ਟੂ ਦ ਕਲੈਵਰ ਪੀਪਲ, ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਆਈ ਗਿਵ ਦ ਵੈਲਥ ਟੂ ਦ ਕਲੈਵਰ ਪੀਪਲ ਦੈਨ ਦੇ ਵਿਲ ਫਲਾਈ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਵਿੰਗਸ, ਇਫ ਆਈ ਟੇਕ ਅਵੇ ਦ ਕਲੈਵਰਨੈਸ ਫਰੋਮ ਦੈਮ ਦੇ ਵਿਲ ਡਾਈ।
ਛੋੜੋ ਵੇਸ ਭੇਖ ਚਤੁਰਾਈ, ਦੁਬਿਧਾ ਇਹ ਫਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਜੀਓ, ਮਨ ਰੇ ਥਿਰ ਰਹੋ ਮਤ ਕਤ ਜਾਈ ਜੀਓ, ਮਨ ਰੇ ਥਿਰ ਰਹੋ ਮਤ ਕਤ ਜਾਹੀ ਜੀਓ।
ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਈ ਦਫ਼ਾ ਭਜਨ 'ਤੇ ਬਿਠਾਉਣ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਮਝਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਭਿਆਸ 'ਤੇ ਬੈਠਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਸਾਥ ਰੱਖੋ, ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਤਨ ਦੀ ਆ ਮਨ ਦੀ ਆ ਕਹੀਂ ਔਰ ਕੋ, ਤਨ ਸਾਧਾਂ ਕੇ ਸੰਗ ਕਹੇ ਕਬੀਰ ਕੈਸੇ ਲੱਗੇ ਕੋਰੀ ਗਜੀ ਰੰਗ।
ਆਫਨ ਆਈ ਟੈਲ ਯੂ ਬਿਫੋਰ ਆਈ ਮੇਕ ਯੂ ਸਿਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਮਾਇੰਡ, ਦੈਟ ਦ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਹੇਅਰ ਟੂ ਮੇਕ ਅਵਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਅੰਡਰਸਟੈਂਡ, ਸੋ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਕੀਪ ਅਵਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਅਲੋਂਗ ਵਿਦ ਅਸ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਹੇਅਰ ਫੋਰ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ। ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਨੋਟ ਡੂ ਲਾਈਕ ਦਿਸ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਗਿਵਨ ਯੋਰ ਬਾਡੀ ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਯੋਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਇਜ਼ ਸਰੈਂਡਰਡ ਸਮਵੇਅਰ ਐਲਸ। ਕਬੀਰ ਸੇਜ਼ that how can a piece of cloth who is so dry, how can that piece of cloth which is so much dry accept any color?
Pyareo satsang de andar tan liaye ho keemti time kad ke man nu samjhaun vaste aaye ho, itthe abhyas vi karde ho, lekin man jehda hai us di chaukidari nahi karde ge, ਤਨ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਇੱਥੇ ਬੈਠਾ ਰਹਿ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਮਨ ਘਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਦਫ਼ਤਰਾਂ 'ਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਹੋਰ ਕਾਰੋਬਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਡੀਅਰ ਵੰਸ, ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਬਰੋਟ ਯੋਰ ਬਾਡੀ ਹੇਅਰ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਸਪੈਂਡ ਸੋ ਮਚ ਆਫ ਯੋਰ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਟਾਈਮ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਮੇਕ ਯੋਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਅੰਡਰਸਟੈਂਡ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਕਮ ਹੇਅਰ, ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਬਰੋਟ ਯੋਰ ਬਾਡੀ ਹੇਅਰ, ਬਟ you meditate, you sit in the meditation also over here, but you do not keep a strong guard against your mind. That is why sometimes your mind goes to your home, sometimes it goes to the offices, sometimes it goes to some other worldly things. Just like you have brought your body here, you should keep your mind also here.
ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਘੰਟਾ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਤੇ ਬੈਠਦੇ ਹੋ ਉਸ ਦਾ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਲੇਖਾ ਜੋਖਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਦੇਖੋ ਕਿ ਇੱਕ ਘੰਟੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਦੀ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਵਾਰੀ ਇਹ ਕਰੇ ਗਿਆ, ਕਿੰਨੇ ਵਾਰੀ ਇਹ ਬੈਠਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨਾਲ ਡਿਸਕਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਸੀ, ਕਿੰਨੇ ਵਾਰ ਇਹ ਹੋਰ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਸੋਚਦਾ ਸੀ, ਕਿੰਨੇ ਵਾਰੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕੀਤਾ। ਠੰਡੇ ਦਿਲ ਨਾਲ ਸੋਚੋ, ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਘੰਟੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਮਸਾ ਹੀ ਦੋ ਚਾਰ ਮਿੰਟ ਹੀ ਬਚਣਗੇ।
ਯੂ ਸਿਟ ਹੇਅਰ ਫੋਰ 1 ਆਵਰ ਇਨ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ, ਸੋ ਐਨਾਲਾਈਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਟਾਈਮ, ਦੈਟ 1 ਆਵਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਹੇਅਰ, ਸੀ ਦੈਟ ਹਾਊ ਮਚ ਟਾਈਮ ਯੋਰ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਸਪੈਂਟ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਯੋਰ ਹੋਮ, ਟੂ ਯੋਰ ਬਿਜ਼ਨਸ, ਟੂ ਯੋਰ ਆਫਿਸ, ਹਾਊ ਮਚ ਟਾਈਮ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਸਪੈਂਟ ਇਨ ਡਿਸਕਸਿੰਗ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਵਿਦ ਦੀ ਅਦਰ ਪੀਪਲ ਐਂਡ doing everything else, and how much time actually he has done the simran, you will see that it is only few minutes, just 4 or 5 minutes which your mind has spent doing the simran out of the 1 hour you have meditated here.
Maharaj Savan Singh ek premi di misal dende hunde sige, ohnu puchhya kyon bhai tenu dhyan aayega bhajan karega, ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਜੀ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਰਸਤਾ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੋ ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਅਜੇ ਨਵਾਂ ਨਵਾਂ ਹੈ, ਮੇਰਾ ਮੱਝ ਨਾਲ ਬਹੁਤ ਪਿਆਰ ਹੈ। ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਾਉਣ ਦੀ ਖਾਤਰ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਤੂੰ ਬੈਠ, ਅਸੀਂ ਅੱਗੇ ਕਿਸੇ ਹੋਰ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਕੋਲ ਜਾਇਆ ਹੀ ਹੈ, ਚੱਲ ਤੂੰ ਮੱਝ ਦਾ ਹੀ ਧਿਆਨ ਧਰ। ਮਹਾਤਮਾ 2 ਦਿਨ ਨਾ ਆਏ, ਹੁਣ ਮੱਝ ਦਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਧਰਨਾ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਕੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਸੀਗਾ, ਜਿਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਰੋਜ਼ ਹੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਲਗਾਓ ਸੀਗਾ। ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਆਏ, ਜਦ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਆ ਵੀ ਪਿਆਰਿਆ ਬਾਹਰ ਆ, ਤੈਨੂੰ ਅੱਗੇ ਵੀ ਸਮਝਾਈਏ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਜੀ ਮੇਰੇ ਸਿੰਘ ਵੱਡੇ ਵੱਡੇ ਆ, ਬਾਹਰ 'ਚ ਫਸ ਜਾਣਗੇ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਤੂੰ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਹੈ ਆ ਜਾ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਮੱਝ ਹੈ। ਉਹਦੀ ਜਦੋਂ ਬਾਂਹ ਫੜ ਕੇ ਬਾਹਰ ਕੱਢਿਆ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਵੀ ਦੇਖ ਜਿਹਦਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਧਰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹਦਾ ਰੂਪ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜੇ ਤੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਜਪਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਰੂਪ ਵੀ ਹੋ ਸਕਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਸ ਟੂ ਟਾਕ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਅ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ. One person came to him for getting the initiation, and the master asked him that will you be able to contemplate, will you be able to do the meditation? He said, well, the path which you are showing is very long and it is very new to me, but I am very attached to my buffalo. I love my buffalo very much. So master said that okay, you contemplate on the form of the buffalo and then I will teach you further after you have contemplated on the form of the buffalo. So that Mahatma went away. He came back after 2 days and he said that okay, you come to me and I will teach you more about the devotion. So he had contemplated on the form of the buffalo so much so that he started thinking that he is a buffalo. So he said that how can I come through the door, because my horns are very big and I will get stuck into this door. The Mahatma said that no, you are a human being, you don't have such big horns, you are not a buffalo, you come and you can easily go through the door. But he said that no, I cannot come. So holding him by his hand, he took him out and he said that look here, you are a human being, and if you had contemplated on the form of the master, if you had contemplated on the Naam, you would have become the form of the Naam. Now you contemplated on the form of the buffalo, that is why you think that you are buffalo and you have become a form of the buffalo. So that is why he said that if we contemplate on the form of the master, if we contemplate on the Naam, we do our devotion in the right way and we become its form.
Our closing bhajan is on page 207. This is Sanchi's bhajan, Vade Vade Duniade. Great kings of the world went weeping without the Naam. Rama wept when Sita became another's. Ravana wept after losing Lanka. Without Naam, they are all the food of Kal. They made a joke of the saint, and their donation became dung. Eating that gift, Ajaysar wept. Even if one has a throne, without the Naam, he weeps. The Yadavas fooled Durdavasa. Weeping, they died a terrible death. Without the Master, they died without remedy. Krishna Murari remained always with the Pandavas, but they wept when they lost the game. Dropada's clothing was ripped countless times. Sawan gave the message of Nam. Kripal finished the snare of Kal. Ajab says, without the master, Kal does not run away. Great kings of the world went weeping without the Nam.
Vadi vadi duniya dai raje ronde jande naam tu bina vadi vadi duniya de raje ronde jande naam tu bina राम रोए हुई सीत पड़ाए रावण रोया लंक गवाए राम रोए हुई सीत पड़ाए रावण रोया लंक गवाए बिना नाम तो काल देखा जे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना संतनु हसी कर दिन लिद होया बिकिया खाके अजे सर रोया संतानु हासी खड़ी दन लिद होया बिकिया खाके अजे सर रोया नाम बिन चाहे थक तबिराजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना मशकड़ी यादवा दुर्वासनु कर गए रोंदे अन्याई मोटे मार गए मशकड़ी यादवा दुर्वासनु कर गए रोंदे अन्याई मोटे मार गए बज गुरु मार गे बे इलाजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना रेंदा अंग संगा कृष्णा मुरारी पांडव रोए जबाजी हारी रेंदा अंग संगा कृष्णा मुरारी पांडव रोए जबाजी हारी चीर दरूप तडिलाते बेहसाबे रांदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना वदे वदे दुनिया दे राजे रोंदे जांदे नाम तो बिना Namadahu ka savana nilaya kaladjala kirpala mukaya Namadahu ka savana nilaya kaladjala kirpala mukaya Ajaib Guru Vina Kalana Bhaje Ronde Jande Nam Tubina Vade Vade Duniya Re Raje Ronde Jande Nam Tubina Vade Vade Duniya Re Raje Ronde jande nam tubina.
Sawan gave the message of Nam. Kirpal finished the snare of Kal. Ajab says, without the master, Kal does not run away. Great kings of the world went weeping without the Nam. May God bless us all.